Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, what a tremendous simcha today. Today we are doing the 654th daf in Shas, daf Mem in Maseches Beitza. The last daf in Maseches Beitza will be Zoche to be Mesayim, another Masechta, together. Our daf is going to have a discussion of more halachos of Eruvei Tchumin and the status of your object and its Tchum. That's going to be the topic of the beginning of Mem Amud Aleph. And finally, the Masechta concludes with a Mishnah that relates to halachos of Muktzah of an animal. So the Masechta concludes in a similar subject that it had begun with, and that is the halachos of Muktzah. We will discuss the status of Muktzah of different types of animals, domesticated animals and wild animals, as well as we'll be introduced to the concept of Muktzah Machmas Gufa. Let's Bezer Hashem begin. Three lines from the bottom of Lamed Tes on Beis. Mishaya Peirosav Be'ir Acheres. An individual, Ruvain, has his fruits in a different city. Ve'irvu B'nei Oso Ir Lahavi Etzel Mi Peirosav. And the fellows in the city made an Eruv Tchumin that extended their city in the direction that Ruvain was in, and thereby their Tchum, and one might think as well, the Tchum of the fruits that are in the city, have now been extended to where Ruvain actually is. Nevertheless, the halachi is, they cannot bring Ruvain his fruits, lo yavilo, they can't bring it to him. Rashi explains, because of the concept we've already learned in previous dapim, and that is the idea, hakol kiragle habaylim, the tchum of the fruits are dependent on the tchum of the owner, and since the fruits are out of the owner's tchum, then they have to stay where they were. V'mirev hu, but if Ruvain made an Erev for himself, that he'd be able to reach the city where his fruits are, peirosav kamohu, then his fruits can go into his city as well, and like we learned, the fruits are keragla behemoth. Mark Mishnah continues on top, mem amaralf mishazimin etzlo archim, if a person has guests to come see him, lo yolichu biyadam manos. This is also a halacha in Tchumin, that if you have guests who come to your house, you're not allowed to give him your food that they're going to take back to their house, because the food is going to leave the Tchum. Elohim kein zika lehem monoseihem me'erev yomtov. Unless on Erev Yomtov you already attributed ownership to the guests, then already on Erev Yomtov their fruits are belonging to the guests, and then the fruits follow the tchum of those guests. Mark continues, top mem amud al, third line from the top, itmar hamafkid peiros etzel chavero, someone who leaves fruits by his friend. If someone leaves his fruits by his friend, you can look at it in two different ways. Rav argues the following. Rav amar karagli misha hifkid lo. Rav says that now it's in the rishus of somebody else who's watching the fruits. Let's say Ruvain leaves it by Shimon, so it's now in Shimon's rishus, and the tchum of the fruits follows Shimon. Ushmuel amar karagli amafkid, it follows the feet of the mafkid. This machlokis is a little bit difficult to understand. The Pnei Yoshua asks a basic question. If the halachos of tchumin follow those who own it, when you ask someone to watch something, you're not transferring any legal ownership whatsoever. If that's so then what is the pshat in the shita of Rav that you follow the shomer's tchum? The Pnei Yoshua suggests that it could be that this gemara would only make sense that according to Rav, it doesn't mean that it has the tchum of only the shomer because of the above question, but it has the tchum of shnehem, where both the mafkid and the nifkat, the owner and the shomer's tchumin, overlap. Either way, exactly what the pshat is in Rav is a discussion in the Achronim. Let's continue on. Six lines from the top. Lemi Rav Shmuel Dazli Tamayu. Shmuel, who says that it follows the owner's rishus, and Shmuel says it follows the shomer as well. Ar Lishitasam Disnan, as we learned in a Mishnah, in Bava Kamo, im Hichnis Rishus, Bal HaChotzer Chayiv. If somebody goes into the rishus of a homeowner with his ox, and his ox goes and does damage, then you're Chayiv. Rebbe Yomer Loilam Ein HaChayiv, Now, if he went into the fellow's rishus, it was with permission. So, the Tanakhama says that even though there wasn't any agreement if, when he goes in with his ox, if it gets damaged, the Balachotzer is going to pay, nevertheless, the moment the Balachotzer welcomes them, he's going to be chayv. Rebbe disagrees and says, oh no, meino chayv achikav lov balabayis lishmar. Only if the balabayis accepts the responsibility of watching, is he going to be chayv. V'amravun amarav, and it was pasuk in the name of Rav, alocha kedivrei chachamim, that we follow the opinion of the chachamim, the Tanakamo, who says that you're chayiv. Shmuel amar alocha kerebi, and Shmuel says alocha is rebi, that you're not chayiv until you accept the balabayis, that is not chayiv until he accepts shmira. Lema Rav damer karabonon, Shmuel damer kerebi. Let us suggest that Rav is following the opinion of the Rabbanon, and Shmuel is following the opinion of Rebbe. Rashi explains in the first narrow line, Rav follows the opinion of the Rabbanon that says that automatically when it's in the Rishus of the Baal HaChotzer, he assumes Shmira. So too over here, the object follows the Rishus of the Baal HaChotzer, the one who's watching it, and it assumes his Tchum. Says the Gemara, Amalecha Rav, no. Rav will say, I know Damri Filu the Rebbe. I could follow even the opinion of Rebbe that says that you're not Chayiv until the Baal Bayis is Mekabel Shmira, even though the Tchum would already follow the Baal Bayis even without Kabal Sashmira. Adkan lo kama Rebbe Hasam, Elda Mistama lo Kabal Alani Turusa. When did Rebbe say his halacha where there wasn't a Kabal Sashmira? Aval Hacha Kabal Nitirasa. The reason I say over here that you follow the Raglei HaShomer is because he was Mekabel Shmira. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel say, Ano Adam Refilu LeRabbanon. I could follow the Shita of the Rabbanon, who say that automatically the Baal HaChotzer is Chayiv, yet the Tchum is going to follow the Raglei HaMafgid. Adkan Lo Kami Rabban Hasam. The reason why the Baal HaChotzer is going to be Chayiv immediately when the ox comes into his Rishus, El Dlenichalei Linish Dnekim Turei Bishusei the Baal HaChotzer. The owner of the animal wants the Baal HaChotzer to be Mekabel Achrayis. Everybody wants that to happen. Why? Because if his ox damages, the Baal HaShor is not going to be Chayiv if his ox damages. So therefore, the halach is it's considered entirely relinquished by the Baal HaShor to the Baal HaChotzer, and therefore the Baal HaChotzer will be Chayiv if he damages the shor. Does a person want someone else to attain halachic ownership when he puts his fruits in someone else's rishus for gardening? So therefore the Gemara rejects the tzushtel, the application, and the machlokis of Rav and Shmuel is independent of the machlokis Rabbanan and Rebbe im hichnis rishus bal hachotzer chayiv. Period. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Vim Irev Hu Peirosav Kamohu. In the case in which Reuven is in another city, if he makes an Eruv to be able to reach the city that his fruits are in, so then his fruits follow his Tchum. Asks the Gemara, Vi Amit Karagle Mishifkid Etzlo, if we're going to say like the Shita of Rav, that whoever is guarding it, then the fruits attain the shomer's tchum and not the original owner. Ki arev hu may have, who cares if he makes an eriv? At the end of the day, it should follow the rishus of the shomer. Rav Huna answers, Ami bei Rav. Rav defended their position and explained the Mishnah, kigon sheyichad lo keren zavis. In an instance where there was a corner that was designated specifically for the shomer, so then in such a case, even Rav would agree, as our Mishnah had suggested, that it follows the Rishus of the Mafkid, because it neverly became ascribed to the Rishus of the Shomer. However, Rav's case was, there was no area that was ascribed to the Rishus HaMafkid, it was just brought into the Shomer's Rishus, then the Shomer assumes full rights over the object, Of course, we still have the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha, but there's no legal ownership. But once he has full rights, Rav is Mechadesh, that his Tchum becomes significant. And according to Pnei Yeshua, it means that both the Shomer and the Mafkid combine for one Tchum, the parts of their Tchum that overlap is the Tchum of the fruits. The Gemara continues on the first wide line, Toshma. Come in here, I'll bring you a proof in this machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Misha zimin etzlo arachin, lo yalichu biyadam manos elim kein zikalem anaseyem me'erev yomtif. If you give your guests food, so then in such a case, they can't take it back into their tchum, because on Erev Shabbos, it was in the tchum of the host. Analyzes the Gemara of Iyamit Keraglin Misha hifkid etzlo. Even if you gave him ownership from Erev Yom Tov, if you gave the guests ownership because you were mezakeh them, you transferred it that to their reshus already in Erev Yom Tov by saying you're giving it to them. How does that help? At the end of the day, it was in the reshus of the host the entire time. So then, in such a case, even though it belongs to the guests, but it follows the reshus of who is guarding it. Answers the Gemara, Ki zika lehem Ayde Acher, my Havi. What would you say if you gave it to the guests by having a third party assume ownership on their behalf? That's the concept of Zechia. Hachinami. So here too, Kivin Shizichalem Ayde Acher, Kimishi Ichelo Karen Zaviz Dami, that once the third party acquires it on their behalf, then by definition, since it was clear they were doing it by their behalf, so the area that they place the fruits are considered the area of the guests. And then in such a case, it is if the guests are holding on to those fruits or foods already. Or else I could say that since it works through Zechus, that the host already gave it to the guest, and his whole intention was to take it out of his Rishus, explains Rashi, so then in such a case it's different, and it follows the ownership of the guest. Period. Rav Chana bar Chani Loi tala bisra ba'avra didasha. Rav Chana bar Chiloi hung meat. Rav Chana was visiting a town on Shabbos, and he received meat, which he hung in the place that he was visiting. Rashi adds that the place that he had visited, he had created an Eruv Tchumin to be able to reach there, that place. Now we have a fascinating shaila. Is he allowed to partake in the meat? Because on Friday, that meat was connected to the butcher. Now the question is he allowed to take it back with him to his Tchum? I misspoke earlier, I said it was Shabbos. If we're talking about carrying it back and meat, presumably we're talking about Yom Tov. Also, the Kamed Rav Huna, so he came to Rav Huna, Amalei, I'at Tolis, if you were the one who hung up the piece of meat, Zil Shkol, so then in such a case you could go and take it. The Inu Talach Lach, but if the butcher is the one who hung it by your door, so then in such a case, Lo Tishkol, you can't take it. Now the Gemara analyzes what is the rationale over here in regards to Rav Huna's response. Analyze the Gemara. V'i'yu tala mishakil. Even if he hung it, if Chana had hung it, why would that be enough? V'Rav Huna talmid de Rav have it. Rav Huna is a student of Rav. V'amar Rav, and Rav said, K'ragle mi shehifkid etzlo. That the halacha is that the food follows the owner of the house. Now Rav Chana was visiting, according to Meiri, he was visiting his Talmidim to teach them Torah, was visiting somebody else. So it follows the Tchum of the person who owns the house, not the Tchum of the visitor. Answers the Gemara, Shani Avra Didasha, when it comes to meat, it's the Kemishi Yichelo Karen Zaviz Dami. It says, if they had designated for Rav Chana a particular place to put his meat. So once it was Rav Chana who had hung the meat, so then in such a case, it's like Yichad Lo Keren Zavis. And once it's Yichad Lo Keren Zavis, so then in such an instance, it's considered as if that area was designated for him, and the Tchum is his. Amalei Rav Hillel L'Rav Ashi. Rav Hillel said to Rav Ashi a question on the other psak of Rav Huna. V'i inhu talu le'i shakel. And if the butcher had hung it there, In such a case, Rav Chana would not be able to take it back. Va'amar Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, where we learned, Shar shel pitem hareu kiragli kol adam, that when it comes to someone who fattens up oxen and then sells them, so then in such a case, halacha is it doesn't follow the tchum of the shar shel pitem, but rather his intention is that whoever buys it, whoever takes it from him, even if it's transferred on Yom Tov, it's going to follow his rishus, because the fellow fattens up the meat, his intention is not to hold onto it for himself, and his intention from the beginning is to give it to somebody to buy. We've spoken about already in the past that if they don't discuss the transaction, the details of the transaction, the Mishnah told us earlier in Beitza, the transaction could be made even on Yom Tov itself. So too over here, when it comes to the butcher intends to give it to the most interested customer. Amle Ravina le Ravashi, V'i inu talu le lo shakil? Similarly, Ravina asked Ravashi, and if the butcher hangs it, then in such a case, Rav Chana can't take it? V'amar Rav Chana Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rebbe Dosa, that we filed the psak of Rebbe Dosa, who we learned earlier on the top of Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, that somebody buys a behema from his friend, then it's already considered his, even though the Mesira did not take place until Yom Tov. That was one halacha, Rebbe Dosa, on top of Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. The halacha that we're interested in is the second halacha of Rebbe Dosa on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, and that is that you intend to give it to a shepherd, then the tchum of the animal is the shepherd if there's only one shepherd in the city. So too over here, where it's clear that the butcher intended to give it to Rav Chana, so certainly then in such a case it should follow Rav Chana's rishus. And a third question, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kana, v'inu talu le'lo shakel, and if the butcher had hung it, then Rav Chana would not be able to take it. But didn't we learn earlier in Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, Habahema Vakein Kiragli Abaylim, that the rule of thumb is that whoever is the owner, then he's the one who decides the tchum. Explains Rashi on the first wide line that here the butcher hung the meat in the Rishus of Rav Chana so that it would become his. Ela, says the Gemara, to answer all the questions, you have to say the following. Shani Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. Rav Chana was different to Gavra Rabuhu. He was a great man. V'tari b'shmeitza, and he was busy learning. V'achi karmelei. And this is what Rav Huna told Rav Chana is the psak halakha. I'at talis, if you hung the meat, islach simna b'gavei, v'lo masach staita minei. Zil shakel. Then that's a simen that you weren't misiach das from it, and you had in mind to take it. And if the butcher hung it, so then you weren't thinking about it. If that is so, then it's usher for a totally different reason. And that is because of basar shenis ala mina ayin, that no one was guarding the meat. Or else Rashi says that it's due to muktza. So two possible reasons that if he was Mesiach Das, or Rav Chana was Mesiach Das, that the meat would be Aser. It is interesting to note that Rashi in Chulin Adav Tzadi Heyamabez is Mekil in the Sugya of Basar Shinis Alim Min Ha'ayin, although he believes that Rav Huna was Machmer Aliba Deshitas Rav for Basar Shinis Alim Min Ha'ayin. So here too, it fits into Rashi that this is Rav Huna, Aliba Deshitas Rav, even though Rashi points out that we don't paskin like Rav by Basar Shinis Alim Min Ha'ayin. It could be that would relate to why Rashi gives another reason to be Machmer over here, because of Muktza as well. Maybe that's why Rashi says, Lashon Acher Mishum Muktza. Let's continue with the next Mishnah. Ein Mashkin V'Shoich Dines Amid Boreos. You're not allowed to give to drink or to slaughter wild animals. Why? Because there was no intention on Yom Tov, more precisely Erev Yom Tov, to partake of these animals. Avo mashkin v'shochtin es habaisus. But you're allowed to give to drink and to slaughter the domesticated animals. Why? Because already before Yom Tov, there is a distinct possibility that you're going to use them, and they're not muktza. Eluhena baisas, what are domesticated animals? Halonos be'ir, those that sleep over, they sleep in the city. Midbarios, desert animals, wild animals, halonos be'efer, they're the ones that go out into the, literally, ash. And what it really means is the area of pasture outside of the city. That's based on Rashi and Psachim on Pei Zayin on my base. Analyzes the Gemara. Lamali Memer Mashkin Vishochtin. Why do we need to mention that you're allowed to give the animals to drink and to slaughter them? It's a Dover Pashut that you're allowed to give your animal to drink. The halacha is any animal that's Mizonasa Alecha that relies on you for drink, you're allowed to feed. Answers the Gemara Milsagavorche Kamashmalan. There's a totally different halacha that the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Not telling you the chiddush that you're allowed to feed them, because that's mizonasa alecha, it's a beferish gemara, on yutesam and aleph in Shabbos, that is permissible. So then what is the chiddush then of our Mishnah? A totally different thing. The lishke inishit behemtoi, a person could give his animal to drink, vahadu lishchot, and then slaughter it, mishum sircha de mashche. And the reason why he's allowed to do it is because it makes it easier to flay the animal after it has been slaughtered if it's been well hydrated, and it's easier to remove its skin. Tana Rabban in the Gemara continues, Elain midbarios ve'elain baisos. I'll give you examples of those animals that are wild and those that are domesticated. Midabrios kol shiotzes bepesach ve'ros be'efer, those that go out in Pesach, they no longer hang around people from Pesach and on, and they pasture in the Efev, Nichnasas, Berevi, Rishona, and then they come back around Cheshvon time. Ve'elo and Baisos, and what are domesticated? Kol Shiotzes V'Ros Chutzachum, U'Bos V'Lanos B'Toch HaTchum, but they come back to rest in the evening inside of the Tchum. As we mentioned above in our Mishnah, that Baisos are Lanos B'Ir. Rebbe Omer, Elu Elu Baisos Hem, but Rebbe disagrees and says, even if stays outside of the city throughout the summer months, they're still considered domesticated. Eluhein midbarios, Ela Eluhein midbarios, what qualifies as wild animals? Kol shariotzos v'ros be'efer, it pastures outside of the city. Ve'einich nasos li'yishuv lo b'imos hacham v'lo b'imos hagshamim. Rebbe says they're only considered wild if they're even outside of the city during the winter months. Asks the Gemara, Umi islay the Rebbe muktza? Does Rebbe hold of the concept of Muktza? Why else is Rebbe explaining this halacha, except due to the motivation to try to describe which animals are muktza, which animals are not? But wait a second. Does Rebbe hold of muktza altogether? Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe asked his father Rebbe, Petzile truma tmura the Rebbe Shimon mahu. When it comes to a certain type of tmura, a certain type of date that don't become ripe on the tree, in such a case, are they muktza according to Rebbe Shimon? Rashi describes the process in Pitzilei Truma, that only after they're cut off the tree do they become ripe. And what happens if these aren't ripe yet? Is one allowed to eat them on Yom Tov? That was what Rebbe Shimon, the son of Rebbe, asked him. Amalei, Rebbe responded, Ein muktza le Rebbe Shimon, that Rebbe Shimon doesn't hold of muktza, except continues Gemara on the base, Ella Gregory Sitzimukim Belvad. Only concept of muktza applies to those figs and grapes that become grapes are easier to describe, that become raisins. Simukim are raisins, and they go through the following process. We know that grapes are edible. Then, when you put them on a roof to dry out to become raisins, there's an intermittent time when they're not edible at all. If on Erev Shabbos they're in that state, so then that's considered muktza machmas atzmo, that he was doche biyadayim. This is the concept that even Rebbe Shimon holds of muktza, if you're doche it biyadayim. Over here, there was nothing positive that was done to make it ready, and people generally don't eat it, but he wasn't doche biyadayim. He didn't push it away with his hands. Hence, we explained, the way Rav Soloveitchik explained this Rashi, as I understood from Rav Shechter, in very, very broad terms, and we've made reference to this a few times in the Daf Yomi, that the concept of muktza, according to Rebbe Shimon, and it's beautifully expressed here at the end of our Masechta, is that if, according to Rebbe Shimon, if you didn't push it away, which is referred to in halachic parlance as dach yobiyadayim, then you weren't makze it, and then in such a case, it's not muktzah. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees, you need to do a positive preparation. So hence, the response of Rabbi was that, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not muktzah, because it wasn't pushed away. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be muktzah, because he didn't do any positive preparation for the object, and the object is not positively prepared. Now, this is a difficulty, because we saw that Rebbe is concerned in regards to muktzah. Now, the animal was never pushed away, just the animal was never designated for use. Yet, Rebbe paskin that according to Rabbi Shimon, if it wasn't pushed away, if it wasn't dachli b'yadayim, then it's not muktzah. The Gemara answers this question on the top line, mem on base, ibay seima, hani nami kigrogas v'tzimukin dummy. We could say that these wild animals are considered like grogas v'tzimukin, and they're considered as if they're dachya biyadayim. Requires a little bit of hesber, why that's so. Rashi in Shabbos on Memheya Mebeis says that two things happen to wild animals. Number one, you shoo them away, that they're generally dachya biyadayim. And number two, to bring them back is something that is a tircha gedola. Either way, Yitzlach has a discussion of how to read this line in the Gemara, but the simple reading is that somehow they're dachya biyadayim, and therefore they have a din of grigros tzimukim according to Rebbe. It could be that Rebbe was responding to his son's question according to Rabbi Shimon, but he himself disagrees. That Rebbe was responding according to the logic of the Rabban. Lididi, according to me, Rebbe would say, Ein muktzah el d'chu. But according to you, Odali Mias, you would be moda to me. You who are following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Hecha diyotzes v'ros b'pesach v'nechnas b'revi rishona de'baisos hein, that in such a case, if they come in for the winter time, that those are considered domesticated, and therefore not muktzah as well, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'hein v'amru le rabbanon lo midbarios hein. And the Rabbanan disagreed and said, no, since it doesn't come back every night, it is considered muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hadron alach mashilim peros usalika meseches beitza. Baruch Hashem, we've been zeichet to be mesayim meseches beitza together. The daf for Shabbos Kodesh will be daf beiz in meseches Rosh Hashanah. And I'm looking forward joining with you daf gimel in meseches Rosh Hashanah. This Beis HaShem concludes Daf Mem and concludes Maseches Beitzah.